The Around the NFL Podcast knows what cosplay is.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, he's alive. Don't you ever count him out. Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, team?
Hey, Dan. You really threw me for a loop there.
Why is there a phone on the desk?
You're really asking why there's a phone on the desk. I know you've been under the weather, Mark. But today, it's back for the third time. Oh, yeah, baby. You're the GM.
Just setting you up.
It's a prop. It was a setup?
Yeah.
So you see, you were out of the office, but you never lost the sharpness that makes
not
you
announce.
One of the best podcasters
not announce.
In the National Football League sector.
Comes back as John Stockton. Just setting you up.
I like you. We're at the stage of the careers. We're like, yeah, the comedies, you know, we need a little extra. Let's bring in the props.
We're at the Gallagher stage of our podcast, which is, you know, made a lot of money. He made guap.
My dad was
not
a big
respected,
Gallagher
but
fan.
Yeah, very rich.
My buddy Bob was a big Gallagher fan as a child. I remember watching some of the videos. I thought, you know, being in the front row.
Isn't he like routinely seen as a hack by other comedians these days?
I think you prop comics get banged and get dinged a lot,
yeah.
But the Gallagher story is kind of fascinating because his own brother, he didn't
Welcome
steal.
Welcome to the Gallagher podcast.
He didn't steal, yeah. Save it for the podcast. No, this is the Gallagher podcast. His own brother, his own flesh and blood, borrowed the Gallagher brand name and just started touring the country saying he was Gallagher. And that led to massive litigation. Look it up. It's a nice wiki.
I've watched the movie.
Right. That's much more interesting to me than Gallagher's show itself.
Yeah,
I would watch
that. Well, you say that now, though, as a 38-year-old man, but think about when you were 8. The watermelon getting crushed by the sledgehammer, not bad.
I'm not sure I want Gallagher around my children.
Should a comedian's target audience be the same as Disney's?
Yeah, Disney's done pretty well historically targeting that market.
I'm going to grow up and be a comedian gearing my material to children.
All right. This podcast is for grown-ups, the Around the NFL podcast. Although teens, you know, check with your parents first. You're welcome to listen as well. It's good to get that out there 600 episodes in. Today's show.
The teens or really anyone under 30 have no idea who Gallagher is. So
well, that's
just
good.
Start plugging back into the show.
It's a teaching tool, this show. Some news, including a multiple Pro Bowl wide receiver once again on the street without a job. And yes, oh, Chris Wessling, you know what time it is, baby. Schedule release time. It dropped on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we are going to dig in a little bit on the schedule. And Wes, you seem to always turn your nose up at the schedule release. But for the common football fan, it's a nice little thing to have. You get to look at the schedule. You get to pick win, loss. It's all, you know, it's kind of silly, but it's fun. It's part of being a football fan.
It's an artificial construct. None of it means
anything
for 6 months.
It's not an artificial. It's here is literally the schedule. This is who you're going to play.
Right, but I could find out the same information the day before the season, and it wouldn't affect my life any differently.
I think it's different if you root for a team.
Oh, absolutely.
Then you plug in. You say you care about the opening game. You look at what primetime games you have, and it doesn't provide any more information. I agree with you there. But as a fan, I mean, from the earliest days as a football fan, rip open that USA Today when the schedule came out pre-internet, and it was almost always give me a break.
Oh, 10-6, we'll
huge
be all right.
Mo, 10-6, you're rolling in it, Marty Schottenheimer, come on.
Yeah, if my soul wasn't hollow, I would definitely be interested in the
schedule.
It plays
a big part. It does. One of my best friends is getting married, and we are going to Tennessee when the Patriots play the Titans her bachelorette party, and we've already booked it we found out yesterday.
Got to make some plans.
That's a good bachelorette party. That is also, and we're going to get to it, the Malcolm Butler revenge game.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. And, yes, as I said, you're the GM returns to close out the show. Let's get right to it, Erica. Let's do some news. Yes, Brandon Marshall is once again unattached to a football team. The man who signed a two-year, $12 million deal with the New York Giants last March did not have any chemistry at all with Eli Manning and then broke his ankle in week 6, ending his season. And now the Giants have moved on. And, Mark, there's a lesson to be learned here because Dez Bryant has been very clear that he wants to stay in the NFC East, and the Giants he kind of bandied about, or somebody kind of floated it to him, and he was like, oh, I like that. Brandon Marshall gets on social media, no room, bro, or something like that. Like, literally 48 hours later, he's no longer in the room.
Yeah, and I've not been the most plugged-in human on the planet to NFL goings-on over the last 48 hours, but Gettleman sounded open to bringing, or at least the idea of Dez Bryant, and then he's working out with Odell Beckham, and it's like maybe the stars begin to align for a team that beyond Beckham has Sterling Shepard and Roger Lewis, not much else at wide receiver.
And Evan Ingram. I mean, they've got a great
tight end, but I'm talking wide receiver.
Two great wide receivers. The New York Post very definitively said Dez is not going there. And they didn't put any sources or anything on it. They just sort of said it and didn't bet. So that makes me think they know, but they can't credit Gettleman. And apparently Dez isn't going to happen
there. I didn't even realize Brandon Marshall was still on the team. I thought they had gotten rid of him a couple months ago.
I think a lot of people did.
We all had that experience of like 2 weeks ago looking at the depth chart and saying, why is Brandon Marshall's name still on the Giants?
Yeah, and it's easy to forget now, but Marshall was, and we talked about it on the podcast, he had so many great statistical years, never made the playoffs, obviously, which is unfortunately something that's sticking to him. But there was a point after that one big season he had with the Jets where he seemed, if he could just string together a few more seasons, he could be a Hall of Fame guy potentially, and that's not happening now. His career seems to be in a downturn. Do we think he's going to get a job?
I don't. I think it's easy to forget how bad he was last year. And he was bad the year before with the Jets, but with the Giants, remember the first couple of games when he had like one catch a piece in those games?
It was a disaster.
As the Giants offense was in the tank. And he's just one of those guys. I don't think he separates anymore. And I think teams question his motivation with the TV show, with, you know, inside the NFL that he was on. And I think teams are like, okay, is this guy really into football now?
Well, he doesn't want to play outside. He said he doesn't want to play outside of New York. Well, you've run out of options in New York City area in terms of football teams. So unless you want to fly down from Buffalo or latch on with the Eagles, neither of those are happening. I think he shifts into television.
Moving on, an all-time great of the Indianapolis Colts has decided to retire. Dwight Freeney has opted to end his career. 16 seasons. He signs a one-day contract to retire as a Colt. He was selected 11th overall in 2002. That's when I graduated college. He was not the biggest guy, but amazing speed, really quick, and knew how to get to the quarterback. He won a Super Bowl with the Colts in 2007. Greg, and had some nice seasons with the Falcons as well, and now Freeney hangs it up. Is this a Hall of Famer?
I think he is definitely a Hall of Famer. Robert Mathis just retired. James Harrison just retired. Dwight Freeney just retired. And to me, Freeney is the guy out of that group that's going to get in quicker, if not right away, because there hasn't been really a player quite like him. Not just the spin move, but
the spin,
his dip around the edge and just the amount of years that he did it. People... Yeah, on Twitter, I saw kind of comparing him to Mathis. The numbers are kind of the same. It's like they weren't worried about Mathis the same way that they were about Dwight Freeney. He was such a naturally gifted and student of the game. And you're right. You mentioned the Falcons. He had a nice career after the Colts quietly, where he actually made some impact with the Chargers, with the Cardinals. He had a sack and seven hurries in the Super Bowl, played very well for the Falcons that year. So I think he's a no-doubter.
I believe... Of the 16 players who have more career sacks than Dwight Freeney, the only one eligible for the Hall of Fame who's not in is Leslie O'Neal, which speaks that Freeney's probably getting in. And I think younger fans, you know, you might have seen late career Freeney with the spin move that everyone remembers, but young Freeney was like, I remember when he and Javon Curse had like the quickest first steps for a pass rusher that anyone had seen.
And it was right off the bat, like right when he entered the league, he was a supernova. Yeah. I mean, he was immediately one of the top five pass rushers in the league and stayed it for most of the first decade of his career. There just aren't that many players like that kind of stay at that elite level.
It still bothers me, though, that you could tell someone getting drafted next week, you were going to have a mirror image career of James Harrison and probably not make the Hall of Fame. Like, you'll retire roughly 18 years from now and make the biggest play in Super Bowl history, be Defensive Player of the Year, and be one of the most disruptive players of your entire era.
I think that
we decided on the last show that it's going to take a long time. I would vote for him, but it's like,
in.
come on, just expand the hall, make it bigger, put more headshots and head statues in there, whatever it takes.
And headshots.
Put them in there.
Take like one of the Hollywood headshots.
Sure.
When you're driving down
maybe
the street
just a head,
Hollywood.
Like a headshot section for the guys we're not as sure about.
I mean, he Freeney, I was rooting for him, not in that Super Bowl, but after talking to him that week. Like, he's been a leader everywhere he goes. Melvin Ingram says he is responsible for turning Melvin Ingram's career around in Los Angeles, in San Diego. And Freeney was killing Nate Solder in that game. And that
yes,
would have been
was.
An interesting moment, kind of a little bit like Michael Strahan, not with the team that he was always with, but an all-time great having an all-time performance at like 36 years old to help his team win the Super Bowl.
So you wanted the Patriots to lose?
No, I'm saying I liked Freeney personally.
Okay.
I did not want him. Patriots list.
In other news, the Baltimore Ravens still trying to upgrade that receiving group, and now they have signed New Orleans Saints restricted free agent wideout Willie Snead to a 2-year offer sheet worth up to $10.4 million. Rap sheet reported the Saints have 5 days to match the tender. Wes, if the Saints do not match that tender and he joins the Ravens, is this a big upgrade for that unit?
I like it, and I think this was a smart move. That you can look at the Saints and what they've done with Cam Meredith, and they just re-signed Brandon Coleman, and you say, well, where does Willie Snead fit into that if you're the Ravens? Why not go poach him? And he's, you know, last year he had a 3-game suspension and a hamstring injury and never really got into the offense. But the 2 years before that, he's a really good slot receiver. I think that's a good fit between John Brown and Michael Crabtree in Baltimore.
I think back in Orlando, Greg and I might have seen the – precursor to this. We were in a hotel room, you know, the side room from where we were doing the interviews, our green room. It was not green, but it was we had the door open, a nice Orlando breeze coming in, and I was in there alone initially and heard an NFL agent storming across a yard down below and trying to hide himself while
right
on
below the
phone, right below the window.
It's like a Shakespeare play.
Yeah, it was amid like 5 or 6 like children of Eagles assistants playing football, and he was screaming about a deal about basically a restricted free agent going to start somewhere else. And Greg came in the room, and I told him, and Greg quickly put it together. Well, it's got to be Willie Snead.
Well, we went and checked.
We looked.
We saw who the agent was, and then I checked. And how many restricted free agents?
I mean, anyone could put
Willie
it together
Snead's
now.
Name was
deduction,
in,
though.
Willie Snead's name was in the news as, you know, possibly signing elsewhere.
Then it went
and
dark.
That was his agent.
Here you go.
That's some impressive sleuth work.
That's very nice. And this is a little more troubling, actually. Willie Snead on Twitter, his comments on the current situation. I'ma keep screaming it out loud. Hashtag trust God. Oh, he's saying, trust God! Okay, that's not as troubling. I thought he was saying, I'm just going to keep screaming.
Yeah, I think he's happy.
There was some sort of falling out between him.
Trust God!
There was some sort of falling out where he became an enemy of that coaching staff on some level. He was in their doghouse. There was never really reported why, but he was. This also points out, I think, one less place for Dez Bryant to go. Because I don't think they're going to sign Dez Bryant after spending money on Willie Snead.
So if he's not going to the Giants or Ravens, where is he going?
That it's becoming a little bit of an issue for Dez. And I just finished this photo gallery about guys that look out of place in uniforms later in their career. And there was some discussion internally, should we wait until Dez signs? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know when Dez is going to sign. That could be something that drags out.
It's got a nice spot on the Greybeards, but how about Dez Bryant, color commentator, ESPN Monday Night Football?
Now we're just
still a space open.
Just ended his career.
It was funny watching the rap sheet video on this the other day. You know, he's talking about the teams that are interested, and he's like, you know, the Buffalo Bills have been interested from the beginning, but that's just not going to happen.
Terrell Owens went there. I wouldn't want to see Dez Bryant in Buffalo. And I shout out to all the Bills fans listening in Western New York, but just doesn't feel right. Dez in Buffalo.
I don't like it.
Freezing his
they should
ass
get an
off
extra
in December.
$2 or $3 million in the salary cap just for the weather in Buffalo.
I agree.
Little advantage.
So agree.
Lake effect snow, bro. All right, that's what's happening in the news. Oh yeah, it is time. Let's talk about it. The schedule was released on Thursday night. Let's start right at the top. The first game of the year, we did an NFL Network hit that may or may not have aired, but we definitely recorded one up here on Tuesday. What was our choice for the opening night game? Well, the choice by the men that get locked in that room on Park Avenue was a rematch of a playoff game, an underrated playoff game, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons squaring off. So the Eagles begin their title defense against the team, and people forget this, the team in the Falcons that were at the goal line late in that divisional round playoff game. And if not, and you can't really know for sure, but I'm going to say it, if not for Julio Jones slipping in the end zone, another, if you're a Falcons fan, you're just killing yourself year after year with these what ifs. He might come down with that ball, and it's the Falcons that are one step closer to avenging Super Bowl 51, but it wasn't to be. Now they get a chance at revenge.
I like this matchup. It was surprising, and I'm all for it. Didn't get one of those NFC East matchups. We had chosen the Vikings. It was for .com, so it definitely went on .com. And people can watch up to the minute. The hit that we taped, if they happen to listen to this podcast very quickly, will be on Friday. Maybe we'll send it out on Twitter.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Twitter
Greg.
Show, 2 p.m. What is it? Pacific?
It's a good
Whatever.
Show. It's great.
Falcons, Matt Ryan. Like, I like this. This is a great opening night game. I kind of like the out of the
What's not to like game. About it? It's a good one, Mark, right?
I like that it's not Cowboys-Giants for the first time in my adulthood. I can get behind it. I think it was a great playoff game.
No, Mark's right, by the way. You thought he was exaggerating there? Every opening night game for the last 40 years has been Giants at Dallas.
Well, it always has the defending champion, so it's only had the Giants a couple times. But, yeah, okay.
95% of NFL games are Cowboys
yes,
and Giants.
Sunday night games. It's
I'm in favor of this. I have no arguments at all. And it should be the Eagles, number one.
Yeah, well,
so
yeah.
You got
well,
that.
It has to be. That's
it has
the
to
rule.
Be. But it's – you. I mean, I didn't look at the rest of their schedule, but they could have –
Why not?
They could have put it up against the Giants. It could have been Eagles-Giants. That would have been
– Why didn't you look at the rest of the Eagles?
Been preoccupied with other things.
Why didn't you study the schedules of all 32 teams?
Got the rest of spring and summer to do that if I even choose to. Probably will not then.
Greg, how about the Thanksgiving games? You like them?
I like them. I like
– What are they?
The primetime game in Thanksgiving is awesome, and that's been
Your game.
Hit or miss every
this
year.
This is Greg's favorite game of the year.
But now they have no choice but to play Saints-Falcons on Thanksgiving night. Falcons in a short week, that's a tough spot for them going to New Orleans. You got to think that this game is going to matter. I can't imagine these teams are going to be out of the mix. It's such a great rivalry. And often that final game is kind of sometimes it's an afterthought because the teams are out of the mix by then. What are you laughing about?
I'm just picturing like NFL Films top 10 countdown where it's best rivalries and they get, you know, the whole top 10 list and Greg's in there like, just pitching for the Falcons and Saints as the best rivalry in the NFL.
No, I did put in the top five.
This has been your game. I mean, you open with Bears Lions, which is when we get tagged with covering these games. I quickly, around early October, make my pitch to cover the earliest possible game on Thanksgiving. So I'm going to do a little Bears Lions action.
And once Sue left Detroit,
you're
kind of in the clear of it being a disaster.
It's a milquetoast, zero headline affair, and you're out by noon.
As a former manager, I can say with knowledge, no one gets ahead of the game on schedule stuff or assignments like Mark Sessler.
You know, that said, last year, that's not how last year went.
Things are just cornered.
Then I had a 6-hour empty block where we had to come in and we did our podcast wrap up. I would like to see
if the three of us
or the four of us could possibly top our Thanksgiving recap, which was a 3.5-star wonder.
I'm not even going to say who the parties were, but there were a couple of worried phone calls the following morning following our Thanksgiving show last year. Just leave
were
it at
there?
That. There were a couple of worried phone calls.
Listeners seem to like it.
Well, the phone call is from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was a little concerned.
And what's the middle game?
Redskins Cowboys.
That's good.
Pretty often.
Feels like that's every other year.
Cowboys always play, obviously, as well. And a nice little division matchup. And we don't get Giants-Cowboys, so that's fine.
I do think it's the second time in 3 years, if I'm not mistaken, that they've basically said, hey, AFC, F you on Thanksgiving.
After the butt fumble, they just cleared out all AFC games for the rest of time on Thanksgiving. And revenge games, wrote a little piece on .com. I'm going to throw out some nice little revenge matchups. Wes? You tell me if it lights up your Christmas. You ready?
Okay.
Colts versus Josh McDaniels, week 5, Sunday Night Football. The rivalry's back on.
All right. That feels like a legitimate gripe.
And their GM, or the new coach, Frank Reich, said it's back on. He said, rivalry is back on. It's like,
he sure did.
All right. Let's get out
when
of
When was it ever
let's
on?
Let's get out of the top 5 of the draft before we say that.
Like, I picture LeGarrette Blount and Jonas Gray running for 300 yards every time I picture Colts Patriots.
Wes, week 2. 1 p.m. on Fox, Aaron Rodgers versus Anthony Barr.
That's not really doing it.
Yummy.
Good game,
I think,
though.
Like, Packers-Vikings is more interesting than,
good
like,
game.
Aaron Rodgers. What's he going to do to Anthony Barr?
Next up, Week two. Week two is going to be a fun week. 4:05 Eastern on CBS. Marquette King versus the Oakland Raiders.
Really?
I mean, they didn't even get the 4:25 spot. That's
give me a break on that one.
Bruce Irvin versus Marquette
King. All right,
how
about this? Week 10, 1 p.m., CBS. Malcolm Butler versus Bill Belichick.
That's a legitimate gripe.
I mean, I could almost watch a Titans game. That's how excited I am.
Oh, the Titans could be fun.
All right, we'll see about that.
Matt Castle's no longer on the roster.
Malcolm Butler has said multiple times this offseason how much he, like, respects and loves Bill Belichick for what he did for his career.
How much does he love what happened in the Super Bowl?
Not much. About as much as the rest of the
So what you're saying, Greg, is that it's not a big deal.
I'm saying people aren't going to be that excited about it.
And finally, week 13. The first matchup between these two old rivals, 8:20 p.m. Sunday Night Football, Richard Sherman against the Seattle Seahawks. Hopefully he's on the field. That's the big – especially when you write the revenge games piece, it's like, let's hope these guys are playing football.
You did a really good job with this article. A lot of buy-in from you.
I'm all in. I love revenge.
Yeah, you bought into the concept.
The lead-up to Sherman versus Seattle will be extremely ponderous. That we know.
Any other takeaways, Mark?
My one takeaway, because you have the Jaguars-Patriots as another revenge
Well,
game.
Not as revenge. I meant just overall.
I find it annoying that the Jaguars have fewer primetime games than the Titans and Broncos and no more than the Bears, Jets, and Lions. That they chose the Titans to have more primetime games than the Jaguars after what happened last season.
I don't have a huge problem with it.
I personally do.
I think Jaguars are a good team with the bad quarterback.
They've got better uniforms.
Super exciting.
That's crazy.
I don't know what you have to do. I don't know what you have to do. The Jaguars, I mean, to say we're a team that's arrived, and I understand the doubt around the quarterback, but there's just as many doubts for me around the Titans and what the Titans are in general. And by the way, the Broncos.
That's saying that they're like ratings poison.
Please. Well, I think it's because they're stuck down in the middle of Florida, and no one thinks they can draw an audience.
Looking at their schedule, it is somewhat circumstantial that they've got the national window 4:25 game, like some of the biggest games on their roster on their schedule, 4:25 Patriots. Like, that's a bigger audience than a primetime game is when you get the national audience, 4:25 Cowboys, and then they're in London against the Eagles. So yeah, they took a lot of those out of primetime, but I think we're gonna see a lot of the Jags. Their schedule's loaded with the Steelers. I mean, all these teams that are like national teams.
How about a little Week 3, Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, I was surprised to see the Jets in primetime two of the first 3 weeks.
Jets-Browns.
In Cleveland.
In Cleveland.
Who else is going to be there?
Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield.
We're going to be there. We'll make it happen somehow.
Bank on that.
I would bank on it.
Put it in the bank.
We got months to work.
Lock it up.
Months to work on this. Come on, shadowy leagues.
You're going to have to take the shadowy league figures out for drinks.
That's not hard.
It can be done.
That's it.
Yeah, very easily it could be Tyrod Taylor versus Josh McCown, but wouldn't it be something?
Why not do the schedule the week after the draft? Because they put the Jets in primetime two of the first 3 weeks, which really surprised me, including the first Monday Night Football game, which really surprised me too. And then I thought more about it. And I thought, okay, I guess they're betting on the rookie.
That's a good point, though.
You want to get the New York team in early before their record gets too bad. So early, they're still interested.
Yeah.
So like that sort of makes sense. But, you know, what if they take Quentin Nelson and some, I don't know.
What would have made a little bit more sense, maybe? Well, please, don't even put that out in the world. if you're assuming the Jets, and I don't know if they look at the schedule and the teams in this way, so they probably don't, but if you're going to put the Jets on a Monday Night Football, maybe wait till Week 10 when this rookie is probably playing.
Mm. I think they think more, let's put them early before the season goes too awry.
Right.
Because everyone's interesting early.
I love your drafting, though, because back in 1985, rookie quarterbacks didn't start in week one. Now, I don't care what anyone says for 3 months in the offseason.
Right.
Guaranteed, most of them are starting by week three or four, and you package that schedule to get those guys on prime time as early as possible.
Yeah.
And you would know, you don't know any of that now.
All right, that's what's happening in the news. All right, now comes the time, sometimes imitated, never duplicated. It's You're the GM, baby. What is You're the GM? That's easy. It's a little role play. Each of the four of us will portray, we will embody, we will become, we will melt into the role of a executive in the National Football League, making one phone call And this is important. And I think we didn't even discuss this as a group. It's I think it's understood that this is real business. This isn't going to be a farce. The one GM is going to call the other GM, and he's going to want to do some business, but right before the draft. And that's what you're the GM is. Who wants to get it going? Mark?
I will.
All right, get it going.
All right, this is a call. Do you want me to announce the call before, or do we just do the call?
I believe you announce the call,
right?
Announce who is playing the other general manager.
All right, this is a call placed from the greater Massachusetts area from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick to Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean.
Who's being counted?
I will be Bill Belichick, and Dan Hansis will be Brandon B.
All right. Here we go. Bean counter.
Speak hey, Beanie. It's Belichick down here at Vox Pro.
Hey, Belly.
Yeah, whatever.
You're talking to the Beanie. Hey, what's up with that, man?
Just another day down here.
This lake effect snow is no joke, bro.
Yeah, we're working to get better down here, working to improve. Long way to go.
Are you even listening to me?
Had a few minutes. Thought I'd call you up.
All right, what's up, Belly?
It's busy writing up some long-winded press conference transcripts on punters. You and Shawnee could learn from this. Basically, I just say anything about special teams for 10-plus minutes during my Friday presser, and all these white-hot nerds eat it up like I'm FDR giving a fireside chat about the Emergency Banking Act, total losers.
Hey, you're the king, Belly.
Anyway, Bill Belichick, Brandon Bean, BB1 to BB2.
Oh, yeah, the Bean counter.
Listen, I know you guys. You need a quarterback?
Well, wait a second.
You need a quarterback. You got AJ McCarron, please.
Have you seen his tats?
An NFL team would have to work hard not to find one as long as you haven't had one.
All right, that seemed unnecessary, but it's not incorrect either.
You need more than a quarterback, though, Beanie.
All right, Belly.
Your damn team slipped in the playoffs last year, fell backwards into it. You know it. I know it. Everyone watching football knows it.
Well, we won the game and then got some help on the outside. That's not really falling. But go on.
Here's the deal, Beans. Listen up. Get your notepad out.
I'm counting.
I'm going to give you Tom Brady. You heard me.
Yeah, I'll take it.
You give me.
Yes.
Write this down, Beans.
Hey, Bean Counter's writing.
Bean Counter, I need your number 12, your number 53, your number 56.
Wait, you're not taking both my first rounders?
And next year's second rounder.
It's a good trade.
QB problem solved for 2 years while you find a successor. The Bills become the NFL's glory boy team. I know that matters to your ownership.
So let's just go over this again, Belly. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, still in his prime, in exchange for...
Still in his prime!
Only one of my two first-round picks, which is a little surprising. Thank you. And then two second-rounders over both this year or one
both your second-rounders this year and a second-round last year. I just gave away Jimmy G for a second-rounder. I know what I'm doing.
Is this really, Belly?
Listen, let me tell you how this
works. Put Linda
works.
On the phone. I want to
if you
see
say
you're,
no,
you're okay.
If you say no to this, here's what happens. Someone somewhere calls up Vic Carucci from the Buffalo News
that guy's
and informs them that the Bills just turned down Tom Brady for a second rounder. Of course, those aren't the terms of the deal, but who's going to believe them? They're going to believe Bill Belichick, or they're going to believe Billy Beans, or whatever your name is.
My name is Brandon Bean?
Make it up, Brandon. You want to do this or not?
I'm going to tell you what, Bill. First of all, I appreciate the phone call. Your tone could be a little bit better. We are contemporaries. We're colleagues. I'm going to take this deal, and I am going to send you a bouquet of flowers, because even though I know Tom probably only has a couple years left.
At most.
What would make me more of a legend in Western New York with all that lake effect snow than importing Tom Brady and still somehow having my first round draft pick this upcoming week? I mean, it will be seen as the heist heard around the world. And so I'm going to get off the phone, Bill, before you change your mind. In fact, I've already processed the paperwork and I have Tom on the other line. So
deal done. You asked Drew Bledsoe how this goes.
All right, later. Wow, we got a deal done right off the bat.
Wow.
Well, Greg, your thoughts if you had to write a quick take analysis piece.
For the first time, no, this is a big deal. this matters. Everything is not okay. I believe Robert Kraft would drive Bill Belichick out of the building, and everything nice that we've said about him over the last two decades, we're going to put that on hold for a few decades. It's time to let Josh McDaniels just run the franchise.
I didn't even think so, Brian.
This is sabotage from the inside. This is sabotage from the inside.
Well, this is pre-draft.
Oh, you're going to go get the quarterback.
This is pre-draft.
Oh, you'll have three first-round picks.
And four second-rounders.
Greg, you said last week that the Bills are sneaky rebuilding.
Yeah.
This would blow up the entire rebuilding process.
This would be worth it.
You got to say yes,
though. It'd put him on the map as the NFL's darling team for a year and a half.
Maybe win a Super Bowl.
Maybe Bill knows more than we do.
All right. Wes, you're up.
Greg is Dave Gettleman. I am Tom Coughlin.
Worked on that Gettleman accent.
Gotta channel your Massachusetts background on this one.
Yeah, it's Dave.
Gets! It's Tommy here. Tommy Coughlin.
Wait, who's from Boston?
What's happening?
Didn't Coughlin used to coach at Boston College?
He did.
Okay, there you go. Hey, you know,
I'll get off the line.
This isn't a party line. You know, we own Bill Belichick. Belly, we own him. We got him twice in the Super Bowl. If my quarterback wasn't so lousy, we would have had him in the AFC Championship game last year. I can't fix Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles.
But I'm going to make him fail-proof.
Yeah, we own him. Remember that party after the 2011 Super Bowl? Strahan. That's wild.
We're going to make this guy fail-proof. I've already gotten the best defense in the NFL. We spent the offseason trying to bolster the offense. The missing piece is Odell Beckham.
Whoa.
He's the missing piece. If I can put him with Bortles, we're going to blow up the AFC. It's lousy right now. There's only one contender, and it's the Patriots. We're going to overtake them. I'll give you our first-round pick, the 29th pick in the draft, second-year receiver D.D. Westbrook, and next year's second-round pick for Odell Beckham.
Let's hear that one more time. Sorry.
The 29th pick in the draft this year, D.D. Westbrook, and next year's second round pick.
You know I love you, Tom. I mean, everything we did together. And
enjoying this performance.
You know those videos Odell's got little left of center, let's say. Not a fan of those.
There.
But he's the best wide receiver in the league. He's the best player that we got on our team. I'm going to need a little more. I mean, you're throwing D.D. Westbrook at me. Come on.
I figure you need somebody.
Where do you think D.D. Westbrook? I mean, come on.
You need somebody to start opposite of Shepard. So he's a throw-in. All right. Let's make it first-round pick this year, D.D. Westbrook. And we'll make the second rounder this year, too, instead of next year.
Oh, well, let's just move it up here. It's the same pick. People get all excited. Oh, next year's pick is worthless. Still the same pick. No. I love – you know, Odell's a good player. We just want to scare him a little bit. Just want to scare him.
I got no Dukes.
He's got no Dukes. All right.
That's all.
Love you, Tom. Sorry.
Nice performance by Greg.
Really nice.
Yeah, that was good.
I have another Gettleman call coming up. The question is – Greg, do you want to reprise Gettleman, or do you want to give someone else a...
I don't want to do it again.
Why? You got to reprise. He's in his prime playing Gettleman.
You're Gettleman. Shift to another. You're Gettleman. How can you do
I'm
it?
I'm not Gettleman.
Oh, okay.
No, you've got to go back to Greg. For
Greg,
you have to.
Gettleman.
All right, Gettleman, the phone's ringing off the hook today. Stay in character, Greg.
By the way, I agree with what Greg did there. You don't take that deal.
That's... Yeah, I'm with Greg.
Need more.
Nice try by
Dave.
Coughlin.
First and a second.
Need more.
He got killed in the New York press for that.
Making the phone call is John Elway, the general manager of the Denver Broncos, and he wants to get Mr. Dave Gettleman on the phone as well.
Yeah, what's happening? Tom, I told you. Told you, no Odell, Tom. It's three every time. What's happening?
Hey, it's John. What's up, Dave?
So what, you always talk like that? It's not just in the...
John wants his man. John is ready to trust his instincts. John is ready to make a move up the board to get his man.
Yeah, this is. Can you talk like an Oma person? What's going on here?
This draft is for salvaging John's reputation. Oh, hang on a second. I have another phone call. This one's for John. This one's for John. This one's for John. This one's for John. This song's for John. And that one's for John. This one's for John. Oh, yeah. Also, that one's for John. Yes. All right. I'm back. You still there?
What the hell was that?
All right, so this is what I'm thinking. I want to move up that draft board. I'm sitting at number 5, of course. You are sitting at number 2. I don't want Odell Beckham.
No, what? We're going to pretend like that hold music didn't just happen there?
What? I don't know what you're talking about. I have nothing to do with that element of the production here.
All right, let's get on with it.
All right, here we go. John is a big fan of the Jimmy Johnson draft value chart. It's for John. The number 2 pick, the one you currently hold, Dave. It's worth 2,600 points, according to Double J. The number 5 pick, 1,700 points it's worth. So this is what I have to offer to you. I will give you, in exchange for the 2, the number 5. And also, in the second round, the number 40th pick. That's worth 500 points. We're up to 2,200. I will add a first-round pick from 2016, which was Paxton Lynch.
What's that word? Like negative 125 points? I don't know. That's
you
not
tell me if you could salvage him. Your quarterback situation ain't too hot.
Hey, we got Davis Webb. We got future Hall of Famer Eli Manning.
Give
me a break.
The 5 plus the 40 plus Paxton Lynch to move up to the 2.
John, you know.
I just used car lot just called. Can you hang on 1 second?
Please.
This one's for John. This one's for John. This one's for John. This song's for John. This one's for John. And that one's for John. Also, this one's for John. And all right, that one's for John. Come to think of it, this one's for John. And also, that one's for John.
I'm sorry about that. I'm back. All right, so what we got a deal or what?
Well, I gotta say, that song put me in a much more generous mood. That was beautiful. That lady's got some pipes.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I was going to say, you know, no way. Paxton Lynch, give me a break here. I think if I'd be interested in moving down, I just need a little bit more.
All right, how about
a little bit more?
Take Paxton out of the mix. He's a complete disaster anyway. I agree. I'll throw in another third rounder. That almost puts us right at the same value on the Jimmy Johnson draft chart. So you're going to get the number 5, the number 40th in the second round, and then you'll get a number 3 next year just to move back 3 spots.
You know, people overpaying on that draft value chart. That was made in the 1990s. Now you see what old Beanie did in Buffalo? He's just giving up crazy numbers on that draft value chart. Make it a 2 next year, and you got a deal.
All right, it's a 2. We're moving on up. This draft's for John. Later.
Oh, my.
That's a good trade.
I think that's a fair trade.
Who was the lady with the pipes?
That was Sidney Carlson,
that was
wasn't
Sidney
it?
Carlson.
Come on.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
How could you not know that voice? One of the most unmistakable voices of this generation.
That's beautiful.
It's quite a pool getting
Sidney. I mean, that was catchy. I want that on
This one's for John.
Listen to that voice.
This one's
In fact,
for
let's
John.
Let's play out the show with Sidney.
This one's for John.
All right.
I'm going to start calling the Broncos facility just and ask to speak to someone unobtainable.
All right, Greg, you're up.
All right. I'm going to play Mickey Loomis, Saints executive vice president and general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Pelicans executive vice president, too. And I'm going to give old Brian Gutekunst a call, the Green Bay Packers. How about Mark Sessler?
Gutekunst!
Is that how his – I believe his accent is not of that nature, just to throw that out there.
Feels like a missed opportunity if you don't go that.
I think I already used my
– I'm operating at 28%. I'm going to do my best.
Use my Loomis voice for, you know, Gettleman, but here we go.
Here we go.
I mean, last year we remember that it was too many rings and we just didn't make the adjustment, so that's life.
Guti here. Just kidding. I don't talk that way. Brian Gutekunst, what's up?
Hey, it's Loomis.
Oh, the Pelicans, man. How your Pelicans doing?
Mickey Loomis.
Basketball guy.
No, Saints guy.
Okay, what's up?
Yeah, greatest draft in history last year. Maybe you heard.
You had maybe something to do with it, just a little bit.
You know the name. Wait, hold on a sec. No, don't trade Anthony Davis. No, never do that.
Ah, this guy.
Never do that. He's
basketball guy.
That's never happened.
He's got a lot of irons in the fire.
Hold on.
B-ball man.
All right.
You called me?
Greatest draft in history. You know the name, right?
Yeah, I read the article by Mark Sessler.
Greatest draft in history. You hear, Sean Payton says no QBs in this class, right? Put that out there. Everyone.
Top guy. That changed everything that we're doing here in Green Bay.
Top guy in the business. You know, everyone thinks that now. But no. Actually, we loved him. See what he was doing was he was saying he didn't love them, but he loves them. Pretty clever. Pretty clever, right? Right, Goody? He said the opposite. You see what I'm saying?
You guys have great chemistry.
He said the opposite.
The time here in Green Bay is limited. We are working hard towards the draft. If you could possibly wager towards a point here, Mickey.
All right, so Gutekunst. Got to be careful with that name, huh?
You know, this is not off to a good start at all, sir.
All right, you got nothing but time. You just started.
It's almost like he's just lonely. He just wants to have someone to talk to.
Yeah, can we?
You got nothing but time. You just got there, playing for the future.
I don't do things the way you do down there.
I trade you, number 27, for 14. I give you next year's second round pick. This year's fifth round pick. Free dinner at Clancy's. Best dinner in New Orleans. They'll take care of you. And then Juvenile. He agreed to play any halftime show you want. All the hits.
Wait a minute.
Back that ass up. What happened
to this deal?
Back that ass up. Ha. Even slow motion. The newest stuff. And anything you want.
It's available.
27 to 14.
It's available.
27 to 14. Got connections.
I mean, the way I look at this draft, after doing homework that you possibly haven't done, maybe your head coach.
No, hold on a second. No, don't give J.Rue Holiday more money. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, you seem a bit distracted.
J.Rue.
We look at this draft as once you get past, 14, 15, there really isn't that player that the Packers could view as a blue chip type player. And so you're asking me to take a fifth round pick and a dinner at Clancy's.
You got a first round pick this year.
I get the first round pick.
Next
you're asking me to shuffle
next
down
next year's
13
second
steps.
Round pick.
Can you add how about this?
How about this year's third round pick? Move it up.
Along with the fifth.
No, taking the fifth off.
And what is Green Bay giving up? The 14th and what? What is Green Bay giving up in this?
That's it.
The 14th.
That's it.
That's it.
Because see what Sean Payton was doing there. He said the quarterbacks, they're not good, but people aren't thinking about Lamar Jackson. People aren't thinking where.
Don't tell him.
Well, yeah. Goody's got to ask himself a question. Why are you telling me what the Saints are about to do to position themselves in a way to beat the Packers in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson?
Hold on a second. It's called the Smoothie King
Center?
No, you got to change that name. The Smoothie
Too
King
much
Center? That's an embarrassment. Change that name. Okay, hold on.
I am very concerned about you and your general well-being down in New Orleans. I am not doing this deal. Farewell.
Understandable.
I will not be doing this deal with you. Good luck to you. I truly wish you good luck. Your final statement.
All right. How about I change it? Instead of Juvenile, you get Mystical.
I truly wish you good luck. Goodbye.
Now, I know he's in prison. Somebody's still on the line. There we go. All right. I understand why Gunty didn't want to do business there. It was just something didn't seem right
somebody
on the other end of the line.
Something didn't seem right. But I just think that it's your first time as a GM. Do you want to pick at 27 or 14 unless the deal
the
is
offer
flowing?
Was good, though. I
the offer wasn't bad.
Trade, but I understand why you might not want to do business with people you don't necessarily trust.
Didn't trust them.
All right, one more time around the horn. Here we
Liked
go.
Liked it. Okay. Here we go. This one is
sometimes imitated, never duplicated. Go ahead, Mark.
True. In absentia, Browns GM, ex-Browns GM, Sashi Brown, attempting to contact current Browns GM, John Dorsey.
Love it.
Mr. Dorsey, will you accept a collect call from
Sashi?
Oh, yes, I will. I didn't know we still had collect calls. This is good. Hey, it's a collect call. I think we just get put through to each other. What's up?
Hey, John, Sashi Brown. That is how it normally works. Little concerned about
that. I think our producer's a little young, doesn't know what a collect call.
Very fair, very fair. Well, first of all, you're welcome for this offseason.
Oh, thank you. I
just thought I'd
that.
Tell you that. I am calling you because I'm Sashi Brown. I still care about the Cleveland Browns, and I'm telling you.
Really? Even after all they did to you?
Care very much. Still making a lot of money from the Cleveland Browns on the side, but I have a side job as well.
All right.
I want to talk to you
about
something.
I'm a cowboy, by the way.
Are you going to listen to what I have to say? Do you respect me?
Not totally.
Okay, well,
I'm an old school football guy. You know that. I'm a cowboy.
We might see the world differently.
You're a math guy.
We see the world differently, but I'm going to talk to you about some actual hard road work that I've been doing. I've been camped out down in Buffalo at a listening post.
What's that?
Well, it's where Sashi's been parked for the last 3 weeks. I want to talk to you about something that I picked up on the street.
All right, let's hear it.
The Bills and the Patriots are about to announce a trade for Tom Brady.
You got to be kidding.
I thought the same thing. This is actually about to be announced tonight. You need to get in front of this. I know that you like to say, oh, John Dorsey goes dark. You've got to let the light shine in because you're going to need to pick up the phone here, buddy. Tom Brady to the Buffalo Bills. Here is the upshot. Listen
okay.
to this.
I'm listening.
The Patriots now have the number 12, the number 23, and the number 31 picks in this draft, 3 first-rounders, and netting this deal from the Bills, 4 second-rounders. Here's what I need you to do if you're willing to listen. You call up Bill Belichick. You give up your dreams about this number 1 pick. I have it on record from a Patriots-friendly friend in the media. Who is he? One clue. He loves the Sopranos and the Sixers. He loves Napoleon quotes, and he used to have your job and my job in Cleveland. Yeah, anyway,
that guy was a mess.
My source has it firsthand from Belichick that New England will part with number 12, number 23, and all 4 of their seconds to move up to number 1. John, the Patriots will take their guy. They will be lauded. But in reverse, I have this on good record. You will then have number 4,
pretty plugged
number
in.
12, number 23, and 7 second-round picks in this draft. You take the quarterback you want at your still-existing number 4 pick. I won't interfere, but Sashi likes Josh Rosen's vibe a lot. You then have 2 more first-rounders and 7 second-rounders before Friday night wraps. Remember, I was the one who first told you to draft Lamar Jackson plus another quarterback. Maybe he'll be there at 12. That's how Sashi does it. You feeling me, Mr. Dorsey?
Time is running out. Please insert more money.
Please listen, Mr. Dorsey. Do it. Sashi out.
I just got the strangest call. It was a man named Sashi who was telling me what to do.
Sashi.
Do we believe him? Was that Sashi? I feel like I would probably, if that was a real thing, would have to do that deal. And I'd take those 7 second rounders and I'd get back into the first round and pick another first rounder.
Tying the Jets record for four first rounders.
I'd trade 4 twos to get into a late first round pick. Why not? Because we have, how many roster spots do we have? We can't just draft 50 guys.
3 first rounders and 7 second rounders.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to package those second rounders to get back into the first round, maybe 20 to 30. And then I'll have between 4 and 27, say, 4 first round picks. Hopefully I hit on 2 or 3 of those guys, including the quarterback. And we're in the playoffs next January. Mm. I would do that.
If any of this happened, like Mary Kay Cabot and Tony Grossi's heads would just explode. It would just be too much to compute. I don't know what just happened.
Interesting. All right, Wes, you're up. Very fascinating. By the way, I like how you doubled down on an earlier premise from round one.
It's called building a story. There's the opener and the closer.
All right, Wes.
I am Arizona Cardinals general manager Steve Keim. Dan is Colts general manager Chris Ballard.
Here we go.
I like circus peanuts.
What?
Oh,
I thought I was calling a general manager.
Chris Ballard here.
Oh, hey, this is Keimbaum. Keimbaum.
Hey, Keimbaum, what's up?
I need a quarterback.
Hey, I got quarterbacks.
We're selling Sam Bradford, but the guy's going to get injured tomorrow.
Oh, he's beat up.
Yeah, we need a quarterback. And I'm dangling David Johnson. I know Frank Gore's gone. Y'all haven't had a 100-yard game since 1973.
It's been tough sledding.
Yeah, I'm selling David Johnson and pick 15. Hold on, please.
Kim Dice, why did you fall out that window? Kim Dice, now your draft stock is falling too. Kim Dice, why did you crash out that window? Kim Dice, this is your last chance to prove yourself. Don't fall once more.
Are you still there?
Still here. David Johnson.
All right.
And pick number 15.
Whoa.
For running back Marlon Mack and your sixth pick. That gives you, wow. You're up there with like Sashi Brown's haul.
Can we repeat this?
David Johnson and pick 15 for Marlon Mack and the number six pick in the draft.
What am I missing here? Moving up to six is nice.
We're getting Josh Rosen, baby.
You're going to get a quarterback. I get it. No guarantee.
He's falling. He's dropping like a bag of hammers.
Get Josh Allen. All right. I feel like given our situation here in Indianapolis, and you know that we are moving forward. I got a ton of positive press from Mark Sessler on the Around the NFL podcast based on my press conference performance. After the Josh McDaniels incident, so a lot of goodwill.
You got Sessler?
You got
his approval?
Sessler's on my side. And based off that, I'm feeling really bullish about the future. I think Andrew Luck is going to – I think Andy's going to be playing this year, so I'm not going to be thinking about a quarterback at six. I'm going to think about getting my roster better. It's going to be a great talent at 15. This is a nice draft. So it's hard for me to turn down an all-pro like David Johnson. And I know he's coming off that knee injury. What's the paperwork on that?
He's great. Never been better. Best shape of his life.
Oh, okay. Now I've heard it. So I have no worries there. Marlon Mack, a nice little player. He's not David Johnson. So I absolutely will take this deal. I got to take this deal. I'd be crazy not to. I mean, I'm, again, Keimbaum.
Keimbaum gets deals done.
Tick, tick, tick. That could be your job security if this doesn't work out. If you end up getting stuck with Josh Allen or something and he doesn't work out.
It's never easy to rebuild. We lost Bruce Arians. We lost Carson Palmer. I'm in a pinch. I understand my job security is on the line, but you know this as well as I do. Job security is on the line every day in the NFL. We got to make bold moves. We need a quarterback. You can't win in the NFL without a quarterback.
All right. We got a deal. One question I have for you. What's your favorite type of frog?
Kermit.
All right. We're done. Nice doing business with you. Very good.
See the headline now. Kind bombed. That is a steal for the Colts.
Yeah, that's troubling.
I mean, if you
unless they know something about David Johnson that the Colts don't know, it feels like
especially if
Marshall Faulk
trades ahead of him and takes Josh Rosen. That would really
NFL teams don't build around running backs. Come on.
All right, this next call, Jerry Jones, general manager and owner of the Dallas Cowboys, will be calling Bengals general manager Mike Brown. I think it has to be Chris Wessling.
Oh yeah,
considering their shared history. So let's do this.
Mike,
Mikey boy here.
Hey, Jared Jones here.
Jera!
How are you doing, buddy?
Well, it's not as good as the 1930s. America's gone downhill. Can't take it.
Sorry to hear about that, Mike. I think this is a great country, and I run America's team. Let me tell you something, though. I'm madder than a wet hen right now.
How mad is a wet hen?
Very mad. The Eagles are champions. We missed the playoffs again. Roger made me pay all that dang money. But you know what? Today's a new day. And I think it could be a new day for your boys in Cincy as well.
All right, let's have it.
All right, I'm going to cut to the chase here. I don't want your life. I want A.J. Green. That boy's a three-jump cowboy, and I'm fixing to get him.
Three-jump cowboy?
Absolutely, and I know what you're thinking. Old Jerry, he's got a big old hole in his screen door. Jerry's gone crazy as a bull bat. I'm not crazy, though. I ain't crazy. I'm fixing to get me a Dez replacement. Y'all see, Dez was a son to me, but I had to move on, and now I need a better son. And that's why I'm a calling. Listen, you ain't going nowhere with your team. Andy Dalton? He's all hat and no kettle, my friend. No cattle, my friend. He's yellow as mustard, but without the bite. He stays in the shadow of his mama's apron, you understand? It's time for you to rebuild, and I can help with a first-round pick. That is gold currency in this National Football League. Steven, get off the phone. Get off the phone, Steven. This is my deal. 19th overall pick. Pick for player swap. Easy as pie, slick as a whistle. A.J. Green for a first-rounder. And if that ain't a fact, God's a possum.
First of all, I invented Cowboys and Indians. I was the first man ever to play Cowboys and Indians. We go back a long way. You're not putting one over on old Mikey boy. You are not putting – I don't know who you think you are selling this.
Come on.
I'm going to need way more than the 19th pick in the draft for AJ, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
One of the best players, but what is he, 28 years old now? Ain't no youngin', and you have a lot of rebuilding to do. What you can do is start the rebuild right now with an extra first-round pick, maybe get yourself another quarterback, maybe find the next A.J. Green, because this generation, this current team, the next 5 years, you ain't hoisting no Lombardi. I hoisted a lot of Lombardis. Three, in case you forgot.
Jerry, did you sleep through the 90s? Nobody knows more about rebuilding than Mikey Boy Brown. We have rebuilt over and over and over again and blown draft picks and turned down passels of draft picks. This is not one of the best deals I've heard. We are not rebuilding. We think we can contend in the North, and we need A.J. Green to do it.
All right, what if I sweeten the pot a little bit? All right, you listening?
I'm listening.
I will throw in a second-round pick next year. So a first and a second for your 28-year-old wide receiver for a team that's, let's face it, not going anywhere in the near future.
Have you seen what I've done with my draft picks? Keely Smith, David Klingler, Kajana Carter. I don't need draft picks.
You're highly self-deprecating.
I need stars. I've got stars.
All right, well, it's time to put out the fire and call in the dogs. So long. Jarrah out. Too bad. I didn't think it was a terrible trade. Is that a terrible offer? I mean, where is Cincinnati right now in the grand scheme of
things? What was the final offer? Two picks? A first and a second?
First this year, a second next year.
It's not a terrible offer, but I wouldn't take it.
I could see the Bengals not taking it. Another team might, if they thought they could.
And yes.
I mean, basically, yeah, you're trading. I mean, A.J. Green is the best case possible for a first-round pick. So.
And he signed to a reasonable deal. So.
I think you called up like the least risky franchise around. That's the thing. If you found someone else like A.J. Green that you wanted a little bit more of a risque franchise, they might listen to that.
Yeah, but I wanted one of the big ones. And the Giants.
Mikey Brown is the original Glacier.
Yeah, that's true. All right, close this out, Greg. One more round.
All right. Finally, this is going to be Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach calling
Veachy.
Ozzie Newsome. Played by Brett. I mean, played by Dan.
I'm going to be Ozzie Newsome. Okay. All right. All right. Ozzie, speak to me.
Hey, this is Brett. Brett Veach.
Speak up, boy.
The Chiefs GM.
Oh, all right. Okay. What's up, Brett?
I just want to say, like, you have my number, right? It's like in the league. It's in the league directory. The 816 number. You see it, right?
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. How can I help you, Brad?
Yeah, just because I haven't had many calls. Like, I know, you know, John Dorsey got a lot of attention. He was like, hey, I'm tough. I'm no nonsense, John Dorsey. I'm the tough guy around here. Like, but we have different styles. Like, I'm not getting any calls at all.
Well, I don't know how to help you out with that, young man. We're very busy here in Baltimore. We're trying to rebuild a champion. We got a nice deal set up with a young man playing wide receiver, Willie Snead. I don't know what to tell you about the Chiefs. I feel like things are going pretty well.
Like, even in the Chiefs buildings, like, if you look at the reporting structure, I report directly to the owner, and still in the building, they're like, hey, Andy, what do you want to do? Hey, Andy, like, hey, what should we do with this guy? It's like, I'm the GM, Brett Veach.
Well,
So like at the combine, is there like a party all the like GMs go to or something, like a dinner or anything like that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I feel sorry for Brett because I feel like you feel marginalized in your organization. But I'll tell you what, you are not alone. As you know, Eric DaCosta is in the building here. They're pushing old Ozzy out. Nobody remembers what Ozzy did. I built the Ravens. I don't know why I speak with a Southern accent. This is a hard show to do.
You're from Alabama.
Emma?
Yeah.
Good.
So there isn't a party? Or
there is a party. You are definitely not invited, though.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Brett. It's not personal. It's just you are extremely, extremely ineffectual, and no one really wants to hang out with you. That's the problem.
I just want to say hi, just sort of like touch me. Oh, I got to go. Big Red is walking this way. I'll see you. Bye.
Poor Brett Veach.
Oh, Brett.
He will someday get a deal done.
I can't wait till you interview him.
Where did Brett fall on your GM rankings, by the way? Can't be very high.
He was too early to be ranked. I like Brett Veach.
How did?
Oh, yeah. We
as Eric Rosenthal. I just
we can tell.
It'd be funny because no one knows anything about Brett Veach.
Gifted vocal work.
If that was Brett Veach.
Very nice, Greg. I think you might have to get the award for the best character work this year.
That might be. I mean, the Chiefs will be calling in 3 or 4 days, so soak it up while you can.
It's our last show with Greg, but we really enjoyed it. All right, there you go. You're the GM. There was no trade offer either.
No, that was
just a touch base. He wants to go to parties. I get it.
I like
the
that.
Idea was no one's calling old Brett up. Everyone forgets about Brett. Doesn't even need to make it.
Very effective.
Call.
And everyone knows the feeling of FOMO, so I get it. We will be back on Monday. It is our last show before the draft on Thursday night, and we will have a special guest here. I will not announce who it is, but we will have someone dropping by or a phone call. And also, yes, it's time again for Go Get My Lunch Draft Edition, and working hard to see if we can maybe get Colleen Wolfe in here for that because she has done so well. She did really well 2 years ago, I believe, in this exercise. I wanted to give her another crack at it, but she's doing Path to the Draft on NFL Network. So we'll see if we can get Colleen in. If not, it will be the four heroes, the bozos ourselves. But thank you for listening, and that's it. Good work, everybody.
Good trades. Some big trades. David Johnson on the move. Tom Brady. Got some big deals,
Doug. Titanic moves. All right. Until Monday, this is Dan Hansa signing off for
This One's for John.
The Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, John. And Loose Cannon this behind the glass. Thank you, Erica, for all your help. Until Monday.
This one's for John.
Missy said.
And that one's for John. Also, this one's for John. And all right, that one's for John. Come to think of it, this one's for John. And also, that one's for John.